right. Well, are we ready to get into the Word of God this morning? All right. If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. This is going to be our last sermon in this series, Step Into Life. We will continue in the Gospel, but with this emphasis in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It says, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray. Father, as we look at your word, and we know that what we've just read and heard is from you, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would illuminate our mind to receive your word today. Help us to attach ourselves to you, God. Lord, that we will attach ourselves to heaven, and that we will love you and serve you and follow you, God. And convict us where we need to be convicted, Lord, and draw us close to you. Help me to preach plain and clear today, so plain that a child can understand. I do realize and understand the judgment on my life and preaching the gospel, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. I think you may be seated. So in this short series we've been looking at Step Into Life, we've been looking at how we stepped into the resurrection of Jesus. So a life of eternity in him, his resurrected life. And then we talked about the life of destiny, where it says that theirs is the kingdom of heaven, that there is somewhere where we're going, and this is not all there is. There is a heaven that awaits. Last week we looked at a life of peace, stepping into a life of peace, and that the only way that we can have peace is by having complete confidence and trust in Christ, right? To truly trust him and place our confidence in him. And today, I want to talk about having a life of satisfaction, being satisfied. Because we live in a world today where, I'm sure you agree with me, that many people, they're just not satisfied. There's a longing, and there's something missing, and they're seeking satisfaction in many ways. And they're on a quest, but it's like the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived, he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes, and you got to read it all the way through. If you just read parts of it, you get depressed, and you got to read it all the way through. And the very end of the book, it says that the chief aim of man is just simply this: to fear God and follow his commands. Everything else is a chasing after the wind. You know, so I try to grab a meaning in life through pleasure. I don't get it. I'm not satisfied. I try to find it in wealth. I don't get it. I'm not satisfied. It's the book of Ecclesiastes is a guy who's experienced everything that the world has to offer that we would say, man, this is what's going to satisfy you. And he says it's a chasing after the wind. It's meaningless. You cannot find satisfaction in this world. You find it in the Lord. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." We look at that. Everything about this, the Beatitudes, it goes against what our culture says. You know, it's this only could be accomplished through the Spirit. You know, blessed are those who mourn. They're going to be comforted. That's not what the world says. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's not what the world says, you know. And he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Well, we don't consider hungering and thirsting as being blessed. But he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. You will never regret following Jesus if you will do what is right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is this righteousness? This righteousness isn't righteousness of salvation. You're not chasing and working for your salvation. This pursuing and loving, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, is following the Lord. Remember when Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, and he said, if you love me, you'll what? You'll follow my commands. You'll do what I say. And so the righteousness that this is talking about is obedience to Jesus. So if Jesus says to do something, if you do it, you'll be satisfied. Now, that doesn't mean it's always easy, because again, this is not what our flesh always wants to do. So Jesus says you need to forgive. Our flesh says, well, I don't want to forgive, right? But he says to forgive. The Bible says to love our enemies and pray for those who pray. Well, I don't want to love my enemies. You know, that's not of the flesh, right? And the flesh wants to hate my enemy. But he says, if you got to love your enemy. So, but if you follow Jesus, you'll be satisfied. The promise is this. Now, I've never had anyone come into my office for counseling and sat down and said this. Oh gosh, I so messed up my life by following Jesus. I sure wish I didn't obey him. I hear a lot of, boy, I messed up. I listened to myself. I listened to the wrong voices. I've made some bad choices. But if you follow Jesus, even though it might be difficult, even though it might be hard, you won't regret it. You will be satisfied. Because we've all had regrets, right? Have you all done something? Regrets. But you'll never regret following Jesus. It's a promise. You will be satisfied. Look at verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, who are the pure in heart? Those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus. The pure in heart are those who have been redeemed. The pure in heart are those who have been born again. The pure in heart are those who have been made clean by Christ. Because we don't save ourselves, right? We're not saved by our works. We're saved by the work of Christ on the cross. Amen? So we're not saved by our righteousness. We're saved by his grace. And he purifies our heart. And so those who have been redeemed, sanctified, born again, saved, whatever words you want to use to say that, describe that, the promise is we will see God. We'll see him. Now, where is Jesus trying to draw our attention to? Where is he trying to have us attach ourselves to? This world or heaven? Does Jesus want us to attach all of our desires for this world or for heaven? Do we need to be, heavenly minded, don't we? We need to think about heaven. So he's drawing our focus towards not loving and living for this world. So he's drawing us to heavenward. Look at verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now notice that the qualifying statement there, for the sake of righteousness. So this persecution that Jesus is talking about isn't persecution because you've been rude, crude, you know, fanatical, crazy, and you're the problem. The persecution that he says blessed are is when you have been living your life for him. When you live your life for righteousness and you follow Jesus and you love him and you shape your life to him and people persecute you because of that, count yourself blessed. That's not how we look at it, do we? We don't think of being persecuted as being blessed. Hey, they're persecuting me. That's not of the flesh. This is something deeper. Look at verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Again, here's the clarifying statement. Because of me. Look at verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Rejoice and be glad when they make fun of you, when they mock you, when they ridicule you, when they persecute you. Rejoice and be glad. Well, that doesn't seem normal, does it? He says, for great will be your reward, for in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before them. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Remember, he goes up to the mountain and he calls his disciples. So these are people who are followers of him, who love him. This message is being spoken to his disciples. There are other people that are overhearing this message, but he's speaking to his disciples and he's preparing them for life. He's preparing them for what's going to happen. Because when we think of this preaching, it's kind of like, you know, you think, well, who in the world is this guy saying all this stuff? I mean, what's his deal? Is he some ivory tower theologian who has no concept of the real world? I mean, blessed are peacemakers, blessed are the gentle, blessed are... Is he even living in this world? What's his thing? We know that's not true. That's not blessed are the gentle, blessed are the strong. Not blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the aggressive. Not blessed are those who are being persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuting. That's what the world says. Where's he at? He's fully aware of where he's at. And he knows he is going to suffer persecution. And he knows that when he suffers persecution, those who follow him will suffer persecution. And he wants them to know on the front end where they need to stand. What's going to happen? He says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, which is Satan, how much more will they malign the members of his household? What Jesus is saying is, hey, if they persecuted me and they hated me, they're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to call you names. They're going to ridicule you. So don't be surprised. Be ready for it. He's getting them ready. He's getting them prepared. And Peter, 1 Peter 3:14 says, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. 1 Peter 4:12, we have it right here. I'm going to read this. It says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on what? Rejoicing. So that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. The spirit of glory and God rest on you. Make sure that none of you suffers. Now here, now make sure. Now if you're going to get persecuted, make sure it's not because you're a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. You know, if you're getting persecuted, don't let it be because you're ornery. Let it be because of the sake of Christ. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is to not be ashamed, but is to glorify God in his name. For it is time for the judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. He says, don't be surprised, don't be shocked. It's like a guy or a gal that signs up to serve their country in the army. Okay? They sign up for the army, and they go through boot camp, and they go through training. They go in it well-informed, well-trained, well-equipped, with all knowledge that one day there could be a possibility where they go to war. Right? You sign up to be in the army, there's a real potential you may fight a battle. True? We all on the same page? And so they sign up, they're in the army, and then they've been serving for a while, and war breaks out, and they call them, and they send them, and we'll do boots on the ground soldier, okay? So we got a soldier, he signed up for the army, he knows war is a potential threat, that the enemies are out there, and they get landed, and they're on there, and they're on their first mission, and he's going into battle. And when that soldier goes into battle and that enemy fires a bullet at him, that soldier can't go, what in the world's going on? What are they doing? What do you mean, what are they doing? They're shooting at you because you are in a war. What do you think they're going to do, throw marshmallows at you? You're in a battle. You can't be surprised. I mean, you can't sign up for the army, go to war, and be like, I can't believe they're firing, you know, they're shooting at us. In the same way, what the Bible says is don't be shocked, don't be surprised when the enemy fires his evil dart at you. Because Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities at the battle of this air. We are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. There is a fight that's raging. There is a war that's going on. And so when someone who doesn't love Jesus makes fun of you because you love Jesus, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. When you don't get invited to the party, don't be shocked. When you lose your job because of your faith in Jesus, don't be shocked. When people talk about you on social media, don't be shocked. When people mock you and ridicule you, call you names, bigot, you're one of those people that believe in the Bible. When they smirk at you, don't be shocked. You got to be prepared. We've got to wake up and realize that there is a spiritual battle going on. The soldier fights. The enemy fights. We're attacked. Persecution is there. Remember Stephen? Stephen was a man full of the Holy Spirit. And he's preaching. And he's preaching against the temple, which didn't make the Pharisees very happy because he was saying, like, you know, God's not in the temple. Jesus is greater than the temple. And he was preaching all this stuff, and he said, you stiff-necked generation, you always harden your heart to the Holy Spirit. You're just like your forefathers who murdered the prophets, and you've killed the anointed one. And the Bible says that they were enraged. They were cut to the heart, and they were enraged, and they began gnashing their teeth, and they attacked Stephen, and they began stoning him as he was preaching the gospel. He looks up into heaven, and he sees the Son of Man stand. Great was his reward. There's a battle raging on, and we've got to ask ourselves this question, is where are we going to attach ourselves to? Because when the Bible says that anyone who desires to live a godly life will be persecuted, when you live a faith, when you actually live your faith, when you actually share your faith, when your faith is known by your life and your lips, you'll be persecuted. There'll be two reactions of people around you. It'll either be persecution or conversion. When you live a life of faithfulness to Jesus, you'll either people around you will be converted, and they'll be in the dark and see, man, the light, this is what I've been looking for, this is what I've been needing, and they will step into the light and receive Jesus as Lord. Or there'll be people who remain in the dark and say, I don't want to hear any of the things that you say, and they will hate you for pointing out the dark by your life. Paul says it this way, as far as our preaching the gospel and living the gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And he manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. He's saying as we go out and we preach the gospel, it's a sweet aroma to the Lord. We're being faithful to him, and we are preaching the gospel, we are living the gospel, we are standing for the truth, and we are displaying his grace. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. So there are some people who smell the aroma of the gospel and it's pleasing. Some it's not. Look at verse 16. To the one, it's an aroma from death to death, and to the other, it's an aroma from life to life. When the gospel is proclaimed, here's one reason why a lot of Christians do not share their faith, because when you share your faith, you put an aroma out there, and some people will like the smell, And some people will hate the smell. And we're so afraid of the people that's going to hate the smell that they're going to attack us that we just don't do anything. And so we've got to ask ourselves, am I gonna let the aroma go out, or am I going to keep it bottled up? Because when we let the gospel out of our lives, there will be some people who receive it, and there are some people who will not receive it, and they will not like it, and they will think it stinks, and they don't want to hear about grace. They don't need grace. They don't need forgiveness. They don't need to repent of their sin. But the way that we live and the things that we stand for, it is an indictment. Even if we don't, when you choose to stand for something, then inevitably the opposite side is going to get offended. So, for example, if you believe in chastity, that you are going to live a life that's chaste and honorable, and that you're going to not engage in sexual activity until you get married, and when you get married, then you're going to be faithful to your spouse until the day you die. Okay? If you stand for that, and that's a core value to you, well then you tick everybody else off who says, no, I think you just have free sex and do whatever you want to do. You will make everyone who doesn't believe that's the way it should be, you'll upset them. And so we have young people, teenagers, you listen to me. Are you going to please God, or do you want to please your peers? You need to make sure that your stance is, I am going to view sex the way God says it, and I will not engage until I marry. And if they laugh at you, and they call you names, and they call you Little Miss Goody, or Mr. Goody, or Preacher Boy, or whatever, who cares? Blessed are you when they make fun of you over that. If you value and you live a life of temperance, then you make the people who love their alcohol upset. You see what I'm doing? See how it works? Like this. When you go to work, if you go to work on time, who do you make mad? The people who clock in late. What are you doing? You're making us look bad. If you work hard and you're a hard worker, who do you make mad? The lazy folks, right? What are you doing working so hard? You're making us look bad, right? When you stand for what is good, noble, and honorable, you will put the other side. So if you live a life of simplicity, then you put to shame the life of extravagance. And so if you hold a view that a marriage is between a man and a woman, well, you infuriate some people who believe otherwise. We got to realize the spiritual battle that we're in. Parents, you better get a grip on your kids. You better invest into your kids spiritually. You better be speaking into them the word of truth, because the world is speaking into them the lies of Satan. And it's all around us, and we're seeing it. I mean, Bruce Springsteen, you heard about him? I mean, how narrow-minded he is. I just can't believe how bigoted he is that he would cancel a concert because of a bill that was passed that he didn't agree with. I mean, how narrow-minded is that? See how that works? If it's opposite, then it's being bigoted and hateful. But if it's, see how twisted our world is? And all the governor's trying to do is say, man, go to the bathroom that you were partial to, you're born with. I mean, it's not that difficult. Come on. I mean, women, you got to help me here. I mean, how many of you really want to use a men's restroom? I mean, for real. Wives, help me. How many times do you argue with your husband about making the lid, sure the lid's the proper place? If you think that's disgusting, multiply that by 100. There's your guy's restroom. Right? So it's not about that. It's not about that. There's something going on behind that. And we've got to be aware. Church, we got to wake up. We got to wake up. How many teachers do we have in the house today? How many teachers do we have in the house today? Man, don't be ashamed of your faith. Don't be ashamed of who you are. We've got people in their schools and teaching our kids. They're not ashamed of who they are. And they don't care to express who they are. Why don't we? Well, I may get talked about. Blessed are you. I may lose my job. Blessed are you. There's persecution among Christians always. Okay? But we're moving forward to a time in America where there will be physical persecution. I hope you see this. I hope your eyes are open to what's going on. Okay? There will be a day when preaching the gospel will be considered hate speech. It'll happen. I may be courted off to jail one day. And my question will be, who will be the next one to stand up and preach and join me? And then the next one, join me. And we'll just have church there on the government's dime. Don't be shocked when they fire at you because you're in a war. Did you see what they said about me on Facebook? Well, whoop-a-dee-doo. Who cares? Now, listen, some of you need to be released today. You ready? Some of you truly are impacted by if someone likes your page or not. You'll put a post out there, and you'll be like, well, I wonder why so-and-so didn't like that. And it'll ruin your whole day. Who cares if they like it or not? The question should be, would God put a lock on your post? Would he put a thumbs up, smiley face on your life? Huh? Because we love those. We love to get them from people. Makes us feel good. Warm, tingly inside. Oh, they locked my post. Think I'll do another one. If we would be more concerned about honoring and pleasing Jesus as we are about wanting to be having the applause of men. Because here's the question we've got to ask yourself. If you're going to offend someone, would you offend God or man? When it comes to the choice of you're going to have to offend someone, you're going to offend man or you're going to offend God, which one will you choose? You better choose offending man, not offending God. As far as it lies in you, Paul says, be at peace with all men. As far as it lies within you, it's not always possible. Jesus wants us to know that when that day comes and they're persecuting you and they're laughing at you and they're mocking you and they're calling you names and they're not inviting you to the parties and they're not inviting you to the office things and they won't sit by you at the lunch table. He wants you to know, blessed are you. If they do that for his sake, not because you're a belligerent, just person who just makes everybody cringe when you walk in the door, but when you actually stand for who Jesus in the gospel and his grace and people say bad things about you, do bad things to you, blessed are you. Matthew 10:28. Jesus says this, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See that? Don't fear someone who can make fun of you, who can laugh at you or mock you. Don't fear the one who can ridicule you. Don't fear the one that can fire you. Don't fear the one that can lie about you. No. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Who is that? That's him. Fear God. Don't fear man. Fear God. Why can Jesus say these things? Why can he challenge us to live in such a way that it is so contradictory to our flesh and the way that the world does it? When I was studying this week, this is what the Lord brought to my attention. The only way that he can challenge us and tell us that this is a blessed way to live, the only way somebody can do that is if they know that the reward is greater than any pain or suffering that you go through. Right. Only if somebody is convinced that no matter what hell you walk through, the heaven that you gain is so much greater, can say that. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. You know that? He wasn't created when he was born in Bethlehem. Jesus always has been. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus created all that we see. By him, all things hold into being. Through him. So he has seen all of eternity. He knows all. He sees the majesty of heaven. He has walked the streets of gold. He has experienced what it means to be in perfect peace, love, where no death reigns, no sorrows there. He knows how great the reward is. And he says, blessed are you. There is nothing in this world that you can hold on to that's greater than what you're going to receive. So don't attach yourself to this world. Don't love this world. He told the Pharisees, you cannot serve God in money. He put his thumb right on one of their gods. One of their gods was wealth. And he said, you can't serve them both. Can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. If you love things and you're tied to things, then when you lose things, your life crumbles. Right? I mean, if I love possessions, I love my house, and it's all about my house and my cars, if something happens and I lose my house and cars, I don't know how to live. Because that's what I've attached myself to. But if I've attached myself to heaven, and I could care less about my car and my home, because it doesn't mean anything to me other than the fact that it allows me to live, but you can take it if you want to take it, I can do away with it. It doesn't affect me if I lose it. You see, whatever you attach yourself to is your God. And so if you attach yourself to heaven, then you realize that there is no gold that shines on this earth that outshines the glory of heaven. And so you can have this world. You can take, there is nothing that I'm attached to. I'm not even attached to my life. Take my life. Kill me. Because I know there's a great reward if you do. There is a martyr's reward. In Revelation, when it talks about those who have been beheaded for the faith, I have to remind you, read church history, persecution's always been there. What is it that empowers a man to walk and be tied to a stake that's going to be burned alive for his faith? He says, you're about to light a candle that will never be extinguished. How's that happen? Someone that has attached themselves to heaven. People who lose their head for the sake of the gospel. How do they do that? They know that the reward is great in heaven. No matter what I go through, heaven's greater. Do you believe that? What are you attaching yourself to? Are you trying to be satisfied in this life? Or are you finding your satisfaction in His life? Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that we as believers would find our satisfaction always in You. And Lord, please, please convict us. Please show us. Please speak to us. Is there any area in my life that I attach myself to more than I should? Is it my pride? Is it my selfishness? Is it my passions? Is it my lust? Is it my what is it, Lord? What is it that I need to die to? What do I need to release so that I can attach to heaven? Father, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know You as Lord, and they've never surrendered to You as Lord, pray You speak to their heart. Father, whatever life and whatever struggles, whatever sin that's going on, would You break those chains, and may they smell the sweet aroma of grace today. And may it be pleasing to them and say, you know, that's what I want. That's the answer that I've been looking for. That's what I need. And would You embolden them and empower them and enable them to step out and receive Your grace today? For today, if you hear the Spirit, do not harden your heart. For today is the day of salvation. Lord, speak, move, may we obey You. In Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's respond. Today, if you need to come for whatever reason, would you come?